Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning. It is time to skip the BS. It's time for Undisputed. Man, it's time to talk another intriguing and revealing and maybe even exposing night of NBA playoff basketball. Paul Pierce was a little overmatched yesterday as I won a second straight dinner off him. So today we have upgraded with Rachel Nichols joining Keyshawn. He needs some help defending LeBron. Not LeBron. What am I saying? A brick. Hi, Rachel. How are you?
Hi, Skip. Thank you.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
You just can't help yourself.
I can't help myself.
Morning, Skip. Yeah.
How are
Rachel?
You, Keyshawn? It's going to be a great morning today. All right. Let's start with the marquee game of the night. Clippers at home out here in L.A. with a chance to take command of this series with Kawhi returning, which turned the Clippers into slight favorites over Luka and Kyrie and the Mavericks going into this game. But the Dallas Mavericks held the Clippers to just 93 points. Man, I keep saying Mavericks do play some defense. They held the Clippers to a season low 36.8% from the floor. Oh. They used a 12-0 run in the middle of the fourth quarter to win it 96-93. Rachel, you were there last night. What was the biggest reason the Mavs won a pretty pivotal game, too?
Defense, man.
Defense.
I mean, Jason.
Mavericks
Kidd,
defense?
I know, what? Right? Luka defense.
Luka
I mean,
defense?
This is how much things
what?
Have changed. Jason Kidd said afterward, he said, this was 90s basketball at its best. And in fact, the Mavericks held the Clippers to their lowest field goal percentage of the entire season, and it was led by Luka. And he was doubled most of the game. He certainly could have pled physical exhaustion, but especially sitting there courtside, you could really watch him do all those little things that makes a great defender. He really decided that he was going to focus on being aggressive defensively, and the numbers are pretty crazy. Clippers players were 2 of 17 from the floor when Luka was the primary defender.
2 of 17?
That is an incredible stat.
When
he came into this league, that he was considered at least somewhat of a defensive liability. I mean, he was always a big guy and he was always aggressive, but certainly the emotions played into his lack of defensive skill and just not being, you know, being starting out in the league. And he has worked so hard at it. And you've seen it all season. He's been consistent. And the Mavericks were able, as a team effort and team defense, and you can see the additions they made at the trade deadline also making a big difference. Meanwhile, the Clippers, look, part of it is what the Mavericks were doing to them. Part of it, sometimes you have a bad shooting night, right? And I think a lot of that was keyed around Kawhi Leonard and trying to integrate him back.
Yep.
Kawhi looked rusty. He hasn't played in more than 20 days. And I think there was a little bit of the my turn, your turn, old school Clippers.
Yep.
I'm standing around watching you. You're watching him. What's Kawhi going to do? I expect Kawhi to play better in the next game. I expect them to shoot better in the next game. But the Mavericks, man, they look tough and steal that game now means that they have the home court advantage.
They do.
Yeah, you know, Rachel, you make a great point. The Mavs play defense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You haven't been able to buy into that all year.
Let's not go crazy with the Luka all of a sudden as defensive player of the year. He was in the right spots doing some of the right things that he was supposed to. He wasn't off his mark. But I don't want to get...
I want to ask you a question. Where do you think Luka ranks defensively this season in terms of like percentile and other players in the league?
He's got to be just slightly beyond the middle of the pack.
Mm-mm. Low 80s. So he's better than 80-something percent.
Okay. So let's say he's better than 80-something percent. Can he do this on back-to-back games? Can we see back-to-back games? Not back-to-back nights, but back-to-back games, because obviously they travel, they get a rest day there or two.
They actually get an extra rest day, so it's not every other night, but go ahead.
Yeah, it's a back-to-back game. So when you look at it, they lost this game, in my opinion, not in the beginning, not in the middle, but in the end, in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. The Clippers didn't shoot the ball nearly, yeah. nowhere near, but okay. Kyrie shot it well, P.J. Washington shot it well, yeah. and then Luka contributed. And that in the fourth quarter. So when you look at their fourth quarter versus the Clippers' fourth quarter, they're going to win that matchup easy and win the game easy when they start to do that. You talk about in the fourth quarter alone, P.J. Washington was 3 of 5, 2 from 3. So think about it. That was big yeah. points. And then the same thing with Luka, 2 from 3. He had 7 points. And Kyrie knocked down his 3. He wound up having 8 points. Only guy from the Clippers in the fourth quarter that made any sense that tried to do anything was Zubac. That's the only one. The rest of them kind of just, the shots were off. You talk about the course of the game shooting threes. The Clippers only made 8 of their, they made 8 of their 30 attempts at 3. 8 of them. Where the first night they played each other in game 1, those shots were falling. For whatever reason, Skip, your guy,
yeah.
I know where you're going, James Harden didn't shoot it well at all. Had a couple crucial turnovers in the game, but I'm not ready to sell off on the Clippers just yet.
I understand.
Because now they go to Dallas, and let's see if Dallas can duplicate the same success they had last night yeah. at home.
By the way, Rachel, he is Clipper Keyshawn. He's a closet Clippers fan. You didn't know this.
Is this because he sees the writing on the wall with the Lakers?
He sees the writing, and he realizes he's about to jump bandwagons to the other L.A. team.
Not a chance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not a chance.
I see you.
So I saw James Harden make 6 threes in game 1, and I told you yesterday he's not going to make 6. And you said, well, maybe 4 or 5. And he went 2 of 10. And to Rachel's point, I'm going to echo many of Rachel's points, but they looked completely out of whack last night as opposed to game 1, because after 9 games of no Kawhi, all of a sudden you throw Kawhi into the mix and it's like, well, he's our best player. We got a feature. Well, then what about me? What about me? I don't know. What about me?
Yeah, they had 3 you know, straight. You remember this, Rachel, because you were at the game. They had 3 straight possessions one time where James Harden decided to miss. Then Kawhi, then Paul George, miss. And then Kawhi, miss. I was like, come on, man. I know Ty Lue is rolling over right now. I said, what are y'all doing?
Come on, man. All right. And Kawhi went 0 for 5 from 3, and that didn't help. So to your point, if you're going to shoot 8 for 30 from 3 at home, you're probably going to lose, especially to this team that I think has been, at least over the last 6 weeks, a little better than you have been. Mm-hmm. Okay, I want to address Luka because you started off talking about his defense. I have never been the biggest proponent of Luka Doncic because he's never been much of a shooter. He's been more LeBron-esque in that he's a low three-point shooter and a low free-throw shooter. And I look at his career marks going into this season. He was 34% from 3 and 74% from the free-throw line. It's just like LeBron, but he's a great player, as is obviously LeBron, because he can do so many other things. But I kept saying, show me something. You're better than that, because he was actually a liability at the free throw line in many of the big Clippers Mavericks playoff series past. He'd go to the free throw line for some games and just brick them for you'd say, what are you doing? It's almost like you want to hack a Luka. And I know most people think Tyrese Maxey is the most improved player in the league. I can make a strong case Luka is the most improved player in this league this year, which makes him one of the best players. I can't quite put him above that big dude out there in Denver right now.
We'll get there.
Yeah, we're going to get there. And that's your guy and your team. But look, Luka has improved radically and dramatically in all these areas, because all of a sudden I look up this year and wait a second, he's kicked it completely up to a 38% three-point shooter. And wait, he's almost 80% from the free throw line this year. Mm-hmm. It's dramatic impact on how good they can be as a team. Because remember last year, they bring in Kyrie midseason, and it's just a disaster. And Luke is pouting about it. Okay, you want to bring in a closer, let him close. And through the fourth quarters last year, down the stretch, it was always Luka would just defer to Kyrie. Well, you do it. You take us home, because that's why they brought you here. They have made peace with each other. And Luka has regained sort of, he sees back control of the team. And now Kyrie is the co-star. He is the, I'm not going to say second fiddle, but he just rides shotgun. It's Luka's team now. You can just see it in his body language. And I used to get sick and tired of Luka's, you know, he'd he'd make a shot and he'd laugh about it. And I'd say, come on, take it a little more seriously than that. And I think the Clippers used to get sick and tired of him laughing after this and that. He'd miss a shot. Ha, ha, ha. Who cares about that? Listen, this guy is a stone cold killer. And I think he showed you this last night, because every time the Clippers made a move, he just said, no, I'm going to do this tonight. I got this. We didn't show up in the first half of game one, but we're here tonight. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you said he was a stone cold killer. Yeah. That fourth quarter three
I was hoping he stepped out of bounds.
126 left.
It was
left. It's right in James' face.
And that's what I was going to say, too, about your LeBron comparison, is that he talks a lot. He watched a bunch of LeBron YouTube videos growing up. That's who he modeled his game after. But he's got a lot of heart in him also. Watch this. And the way he does it, right? Sidestep. It's not just a step back. He does that sidestep move that Harden does. And he just, it's like it's nothing. He's like, oh, boom, there we go.
Boom.
And then the emotion after
screamed.
It.
He went Westbrook, man. He was going primal scream.
Wait, and you can hear him echo around the arena. And his emotion throughout, and it's funny, Jason Kidd, who, by the way, deserves a lot of credit for that chemistry improvement there. And Kyrie, by the way, deserves a lot of credit
for
the chemistry improvement that's happened there. But Jason said afterward, he said, oh, Luka, you know, hasn't gotten a tech in a while. And he got a tech in this game in the second half. And he goes, I think sometimes it, conversely, it focuses him in a way you wouldn't expect. That he's like, okay,
he
now I got to buckle
after,
down.
On a made shot, he wanted the and one.
Oh, he was clear afterward he's like, that was a mistake, that tech. That should be rescinded. But what player has ever gotten a tech that shouldn't be rescinded?
And then I got to show one quick Kyrie pass. I know you caught this in the third quarter. Yep. And it's apropos of nothing, but it's just so spectacular.
So
you say, the behind the back. It's like genius. It's just like, okay, there's only one guy who does these sort of things, right?
Luke, I was trying to figure out how he was able to do that and get it right in the spot.
Hit him right on.
If I try that, it's going out of bounds.
Yeah.
Can I speak on Kyrie for a minute, please? Ooh, I understand all of the stuff he has done off the court, and that stuff, they weren't mistakes. Those were decisions on his part. He made those decisions. He's a grown-up. He's accountable for them. I want to give him, though, so much credit. All we ask of people is growth. Right? You can't be perfect. And all we ask from you to do is learn from the things that you do wrong, be better, strive to be better.
Thank you.
That's what we want.
Yeah.
And he has done that. And he had a great line to me earlier this season. I was sitting down with him for an interview and he goes, I've learned not to touch the stove when it's hot. And to me, that was sort of the encapsulating sentence of how he has grown. And he has put his head down. He has let his basketball do the talking.
Well, we haven't heard much about him in a good way, right?
He has been an elite teammate. Yeah. Those guys in that locker room talk over and over about how Luka's a star. There's no question. But Kyrie is the voice in the locker room. Mm. He really has become the veteran presence for them that has been such a leader in the leadership role. And I just want to give him credit because we talked about it so much when he was screwing up for years. And he deserved all of those conversations.
Yeah, he did.
But he deserves this, too. Because he has done the thing that we kept asking him to do. And I hope it lasts.
Mm. Keyshawn's having a hard time with this because he just doesn't want to buy in.
No?
He hears it, but he doesn't.
Which part?
All of the above. Like anything Dallas Mavericks, you're still not sold.
Because, one, they won, whatever, 11 or 12, 12 or 13.
12 or 13.
12 or 13 games down the stretch. Mm-hmm. I look at the opponents. Okay?
The
opponents are not the same as this opponent. We talked about, as Rachel talked about, Kawhi coming back into the fold. We mentioned yesterday he was getting back in the lineup. Things were going to be rough and tough on them to try to figure out whose turn, who goes next. Is it that coach is going to draw up something for Kawhi or draw up something for PG or draw up something for Harden? Or are they just going to go out there and do what they did the first 11 games that they will all get together? Well, they did exactly that. So when I look at that, I say to myself, that correction is coming once they sit down and they watch the film and Ty Lue is explaining to them and B. Shaw is explaining to them and they're looking at it and they see self-correction. They're not going to repeat the same mistakes in game three unless they're just a brick or something and it doesn't understand. I don't. And so when I look at the Mavs, I understand that we like Luka. We're going to find all the positive things to say about his improvement in his game. There's no question about it. But they also know how to isolate him and find him and put him in vulnerable situations as well as Kyrie. They were not able to do that on a consistent basis last night. But going forward, I think they will be able to, because we can sit here, and I think all of us would agree, Ty Lue's probably one of the top three coaches in all of the NBA, if not the top coach, even though he hadn't won a championship.
Top one, yeah.
Yeah, it just depends. I'm talking about just coaching, understanding, changes, philosophy. So that's why I have a hard time saying to myself, I'm not ready to just be like, they're going to challenge Denver because their path is easy. Consider they may get like an OKC. All of a sudden, they dominate that. Now they go to Denver and they give Denver a hard shot if Denver gets out of Los Angeles alive in the next couple games. Be quiet, Rachel. I see you in the corner of my eye. And so you start to think about it. And we, for some reason, we always want to anoint somebody and turn them into something.
Sure.
I'm like, show me a little bit more. Just show me a little bit more.
What more do you need to see from
him? I need to see more. I just need to see when Skip sits around and tells me about superstars getting it done and finishing the deal, finish the deal.
Well, I mean,
yeah, if we gonna be objective and fair about certain players, I don't give a damn who it is, Rachel. Let's show me.
All right,
he was five of 14 from three.
He did not shoot it that well.
But we're sitting here acting as though he shot 70% from the field or something like that. And that, slow it down. That's all. Just slow it down.
He had two guys in his face most of the night.
All superstars have two guys in their face most of the night.
So do you have to win a ring to be a superstar? Are we back to that?
No, because it is not all based on, one sole individual. But if you're a cold-blooded killer, guess what you're going to do? You're going to put the team on your back. Mm-hmm. You're going to finish the deal, and it's going to mount to a ring. You're going to at least get them to the championship.
Right.
At least get them there. We act as though the Dallas Mavericks have already, this isn't Dirk that's gone and won a championship. We still waiting for them to get to a final.
I understand.
Not a Western Conference final, but a final. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. So that's why I always have reserve in these situations, Rachel.
Fair.
I'm not a hater. I'm just objective.
Well, I'm just starting to believe he's made of championship stuff. Now you got to go do it now.
Okay, it's interesting you said that, because someone that, I always like to say someone that's dialed into the NBA, seriously, we had this conversation yesterday when, for some reason, after I got off from work, and they said they didn't know if he was could be the lead dog on a championship team. Mm-hmm. That's what they told me
yesterday.
That's
a fair question.
They said the lead dog on a championship team.
All right. Well, we're about to find out.
That's what I want
to
see.
They did get to a conference final.
I don't think that's a question at all.
No. Okay.
I don't think there's any question about that. That doesn't mean he's going to win. And you know, look, it depends on who else you run into in the playoffs and what round. And you've got a team, as you've pointed out, it's a team sport and all that stuff. But, man, I don't have a single doubt that he could be the lead dog on a championship team at all.
He just
needs
a
team around him to be
there. 25 years of age.
Yes.
But he has played, this is his sixth, he's winding up his sixth NBA season after playing whatever, three over there.
So that's 19 seasons of professional basketball.
He feels like a grizzled vet.
He was 13 when he started.
I don't care if he was 9, Rachel. You're a professional basketball player.
But he was 13 years old. You can't count that as like his NBA training. Come on. I mean,
over there, some people would tell you there's the things that they do overseas from a skill set standpoint is much harder than some of the stuff that happens in the NBA.
That is true. But
if you're 9 years old.
All right.
I don't think there's any doubt about
this. So, Keyshawn, to your point, I got to show you one pivotal play at the end of the game on an inbounds pass to Luka, in which the game teeters because it's 93-90 Dallas with 20 seconds left. And check out what Luka pulls off. He gets the ball inbounds, takes a dribble, and
don't hesitate, go get it.
He is stuck because it's cardinal sin. He goes up with no real plan of what he's gonna do. He leaves his feet, and at the last second he thinks, I'll bounce pass it to Kyrie.
He step out of
and
bounds.
He barely gets it past Terrence Mann, who's kind of playing center field.
Yeah, if he just go and don't hesitate.
Hey, we could be having a different conversation right now.
But here's what I would say.
Also,
that's still a great play by Luka to be able to stay in bounds, not step out of bounds.
Hey.
and get the ball to Kyrie. Still a good play, Maya.
There's some basketball genius operating there to go up and then bounce it past Terrence Mann, long bounce it past him to Kyrie breaking up court, and then Kyrie got fouled, made his two free throws, and you're pretty much home.
That's the LeBron influence.
I was just about to say, that's a little bit of a LeBron
look. I agree. All right.
Right. And by the way, what led to that inbounds was the coach's challenge and overturning.
And it got overturned.
Which really surprised me because he did slap his arm, but it tells me we are
on the Kawhi scored and they challenged that he got fouled.
Oh, yeah.
He slaps his arm. And
well, why did they overturn it?
Maybe Jason Kidd is right. It's 90s basketball. I don't know. We're just letting
that got overturned
now.
The other night. In a Laker game, I think it was, right?
It
with
did.
D-Russ?
It did. I will tell you.
In the third quarter?
I was talking to Jason Kidd after the game just in the hallway, and he said, we definitely noticed the way the games were changing, being officiated, starting around March. Mm. He said, and we talked to the team about you can be more physical now.
Yeah, Zubac was backing down last night. He was just... And I was like, oh, okay, this is back in the day now. They're just going to let him play.
Yeah, but you can see it. And you can see, again, the fact that Kyrie took the swipe at Kawhi's arm. And by the way, not only was it okay, it was overturned.
It was overturned because there's a little more football element to basketball.
And that would have cut it down to two instead of three, right?
Yeah, if he had made the shot. Kawhi makes his three throws generally. And yeah, absolutely. Then all of a sudden, we're talking about a different game, too.
All right, Keyshawn, do you think the Clippers go back to the drawing board and figure this out enough they can win at least one of these games in Dallas?
I do. Okay. I don't think that this is... I never thought it would be over on some sweep stuff at all. I think it's going to be a tennis match, ping-pong, and back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. That's what I think. I think that the Clippers still won in Dallas. They come back home, they get that when they go back to Dallas and lose, and they come home for game seven.
Okay. And you have them in seven.
Yeah, I got them in seven. Okay. It was in six, now it moves to seven.
Okay.
He's a Clipper fan now.
I'm not a damn Clipper fan, Rachel. Yeah.
You keep saying that.
What I am a fan of is basketball, and I'm a fan of the four guys from Southern California.
Well, that's why.
And I'm a fan of Brian Shaw's, I'm a fan of Ty Lue's.
Yes.
And, yeah.
I think that makes you a Clipper fan.
No. I've never been to a Clipper game inside a Staples Center.
What?
We had this conversation yesterday, me and Paul Pierce. Never been inside a Staples Center, only when they played at the sports arena. Mm-hmm. And the reason we would go is because of the D.A.R.E. You love this, huh? The D.A.R.E. program would give tickets away, and we would have to go to the police station and get the free tickets to go to the Clipper game. That's the only time I would go to Clipper
game. And there were stacks of them.
Stacks of them. Because it was like 5,000 people that would be at an 18,000-seat arena.
They weren't giving away Lakers tickets.
No, they were not giving away
Lakers. The D.A.R.E. program was not giving away
Lakers
tickets.
No, not at all.
So you don't think Clippers got in your soul a little bit?
Never.
Never?
Never.
Sure.
No, I'm not Marcellus Wiley. I'm not a Clipper fan.
All right.
I do think that the Clippers certainly have the potential to steal one of these games. I think this would be a 6 or 7 game series.
Yeah, 6 or 7.
It's two great teams. I mean, this is so much fun. Look at the combined all-star appearances on the court.
And as bad as the Clippers, think about this, though. As bad as the Clippers shot it last night, they almost won the game in the end. They were right there in the end of winning the game. And they played bad. And Dallas had to play, you know, you had to have guys like P.J. Washington ball out in the fourth quarter to pull away.
Yeah.
Okay. To your point.
Although, what's-his-face did get hurt. Hardaway Jr.
He got hurt but more important, Daniel Gafford got hurt early, had a back injury. Remember, when they were winning 12 out of 13, he made 70 of 89 shots over that stretch. It's like ridiculous. And last night, he scored none. I mean, he was gone quickly to a back injury. So if he can bounce back... To me, it still boils down to Luka being better than anybody on the other team. And they're all great in their own rights, but they all have their aging issues or their injury issues, and Kawhi's got the knee, and I'm not sure about it.
Let's see. Let's see if Kawhi shakes the rust off, because we've seen great matchups between these two teams in the playoffs.
Have we?
And I was sitting in Dallas for a game where Kawhi had one of his elite, perfect playoff games.
Was it the one where... Out here, Dallas had won games 1 and 2 at Clippers, and then on a Friday night in Dallas, that was the most shocking game I think I've seen in 10 years, where I just said, well, they're cooked.
Kawhi Leonard
and Kawhi and Paul George just said, no, watch this, and Kawhi was spectacular. spectacular.
Mm-hmm. So let's see.
Okay, I still got the Mavericks in six, and it's not because I worked in Dallas, Keyshawn. It's just because Luka has arrived as a superstar.
Don't do that.
Arrived.
Don't do that. Superstar. Just telling you.
Yep.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Monday night, the Lakers blew their third straight double-digit lead in playoff games against the Nuggets in the closeout game of conference finals last year here in L.A. Lakers were up 15 with 10:50 left in the third quarter, and they lost by two. In game one of this series, Lakers were up 12 with 6:05 left in the second quarter, and they lost by 11. Then in Monday night's game two, the Lakers were up 20 with 10 minutes left in the third quarter, and they lost by two. So, Rachel, you've been bullish on the Nuggets all season, but how do you explain this?
I mean, the reason the Lakers keep coughing up double-digit leads has to do with nobody in a Lakers uniform. It's Nikola Jokic. LeBron James is getting a taste of his own medicine. You know, all those years when he played in the Eastern Conference for Cleveland, Miami, we kept calling the finals the LeBron James Invitational because no one else had a shot in that conference. No one was getting there. And it goes back to Michael Jordan in the Eastern Conference when he was having his reign. Guess what? That's what's happening with Nikola Jokic right now. Mm-hmm. And the team that has been built around him and the function that they have, especially as games continue. They all know what they're supposed to do at the end of games. Jamal Murray, obviously, knows what he is supposed to do. And Nikola Jokic cleared out the rest of those players on that last shot of Jamal Murray. So when you look at what happened, Jokic had a hand in that play as well. And it is exactly what LeBron used to do to everyone else. And now LeBron is 39 years old, and his team is not the team that is the brick wall anymore. And I think that you can, if you want to lay blame inside the Lakers, you can look at Rob Pelinka and say, hey, this team got swept by the Nuggets last year. And your answer was run it back. So that is something that at the time I was sort of, I don't know what we're doing here, guys.
A few pieces, yeah.
but not significantly enough. And look, I do not think Darvin Ham deserves as much blame as Laker Nation sometimes does. But I do want to show you guys this quote from Anthony Davis. I think the control room has it. This is what he said afterward. He said, we have stretches of the games where we just don't know what we're doing on both ends of the floor. And those are the ones that cost us. He's like, now we've got 2 days to get it right, ready to win game three on Thursday. If you're in game, 85, I don't know what the play-in and the tournament, whatever, the game 86?
90 games.
Game 90 of the season. You have stretches where you don't know what you're doing on both ends of the floor?
That wasn't the first time.
I was literally about to say that. That's not the first time that AD felt that way. Now, you say, well, why, Skip? To be honest with you, I don't know entirely why. I could point to a lot of different things. I could start off by saying the third quarter, you're surrendering points in the third quarter to the point where the Denver Nuggets the Lakers have led by 19 points total in game one and two, but the Denver Nuggets erased that in the third quarter. They just completely erased that. Now you look at, you can go all the way back to the Western Conference Final in game four. In the fourth quarter, we led by 15. Okay, in these first two games, in game two, we led in the third quarter, erased that, led 10 in the fourth quarter. Then you go to game one, in the second quarter, it was leading by 12. Number one, we don't have anybody that play defense on the three ball. Mm. They all kind of just stand around and challenge these guys to shoot threes. Whatever reason that is, I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe that is a Joker issue where you damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because if I race out there and leave him sitting underneath, then now what? Okay, so you look at that. And you say to yourself, how does that change? Well, we talked about it from game one with LeBron James in the fourth quarter. He didn't participate. You say participation award. He didn't participate at all in the fourth quarter for whatever reason. But he changed that course in the fourth quarter last game But then nobody else participated in the fourth quarter. So it's like what AD is saying, as stretches in the game, they don't have an identity of understanding on both ends of the floor is what the hell they're supposed to be doing. Mm. That points back to coaching, okay? That just points back to coaching. And you would say, well, LeBron's the coach. He should be getting them. He's the leader. He's the coach. Mm. Well, sometimes that may be true, but when the coach is Darwin Ham, you call timeouts. You bring them to the sideline like you see Spo do, like you see Doc do, like you see Missoula, Ty Lue. Bring them over here and talk to them and get them to understand what it is that you're trying to do. Yeah. Instead of standing there with your arms folded like you Phil Jackson and having them just run up and down the court. I think that's the, and I understand you don't ever want to be a coach killer, but I'm only giving you the message, okay? I didn't create the message. Mm. Anthony Davis has created the message for you to be able to see, and this is not the first time throughout the course of the year that he's questioned the coaching staff and what they've been able to do to get these guys to play.
Okay, Rachel, are you saying that at this point in stage of LeBron's career, or let's even throw Anthony Davis in there, that Joker is just a way better basketball player than both of them? Are we there? Is that where we've arrived?
Yes. Okay. Because guess what? They had an MVP vote this year, and LeBron was not one of the finalists. And Nikola Jokic is going to win.
All right. So here's what I've seen. And the reason I had no issue with what Rob Pelinka did or did not do after last year was he did add Cam Reddish and Gabe Vincent, who's not been healthy the whole year. But here we go again. I don't know what happened to Christian Wood. I thought he was going to be back. But the
gone.
Yeah. Okay. The point is, playoff basketball, as you both well know, is about imposing your will. Ultimately, it really comes down to one man imposes his will on the other team. For years and years, it was Michael Jordan. For many other years, it was Kobe. It was Kareem. It was Magic. That's how you do it. That's how you become dynastic. You impose your will. When LeBron was in the Eastern Conference, he imposed his will. He bullied. He looked down his nose at those baby Raptors up there in Toronto and just clowned them when he played against them. Or the Indiana Pacers of Paul George. He just basically just scoffed at him and laughed at him and stepped on him. That's how you do it. And all of a sudden, I've seen a team that's good enough to hang in and hang in and hang in. It's good enough to put itself in position again and again and again against the now defending champs, the eventual champs last year. You're right there, you're right there, you're right there. And now it's up to one of your two stars. We call Anthony Davis a top five player in this league. It's up to one or the other to impose his will when it matters most in the fourth quarter. And every single time it's been Joker and then Jamal. Joker will do it for a while. And then at the bitter end, it'll be Jamal who say, I got this. Mm-hmm. It happened again the other night. I got it. Mm-hmm. If LeBron's going to miss his shot, just give me the damn ball. Back to the book that you wrote. Give me the damn ball and get out of my way because I'm going to go do this.
Yes.
And I'll end it. And he ended it. Okay, so what do I keep seeing? I guess you're right. I guess Joker and Jamal are just on another level from both LeBron and AD. It's hard for me to...
The last 4 minutes, 5 minutes of the game.
But it's
the
just
entire
happened.
Game's not the case.
No,
the last
no.
No. 5 minutes of the games is where they turn into the superstars and we kind of just become role players, so to speak.
Okay.
Well, look, Jokic is a better player than LeBron right now at this point in LeBron's
career. But I'm not saying that he's not a better player. I don't even look at it that way. I look at AD in the Joker. They cancel each other out. They literally cancel each other out, Rachel.
And Anthony Davis, to me, is a better... First of all, I think Jamal Murray is criminally underrated. I don't understand
Not at this desk. I mean,
he doesn't get the accolades and the things that I think he deserves. However,
especially in the post,
I would still say that Anthony Davis is a better player.
All right.
But we know from decades in the NBA, counting on big men to close games is always a risky proposition. And that's why the Jamal Joker combination.
It's beautiful.
Or should I call him Jamal
scary.
And Rue
yeah.
now? Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah.
But is Anthony Davis really a big man?
I mean,
Because he'll pull up from the elbow, he'll pull up from three.
But that's what big men do.
He's a modern big man.
Yeah, You've seen today.
Okay.
He was a guard until he was a senior in high school.
Yeah,
you know, like, and then he sprouted up.
But he can close out the games. If you go and you look at these 10 games that the Lakers have been dominated or lost. I'm not going to call them dominated because they have lost. Anthony Davis, for whatever reason, hadn't gotten the same touches in those last 5 minutes of the game that he's gotten in the first three quarters and some change. He just hasn't.
Okay.
That's maybe what the complaining about the
So step back and look at last year. So four times in four fourth quarters, you're right there. And LeBron just couldn't make a shot. So he goes 7 of 23 combined in the four fourth quarters and 1 of 10 from three. And then we get down to the closeout game. Not that they had any prayer left, but you have a shred of pride left. Mm-hmm. And LeBron's got it in his hands, and I know we can go on and on, but he's got two shots at it, and he doesn't even get the ball to the rim. One's a late clock one, and I think we have him.
He shot it off the side of the backboard. I've seen it 70 times.
Yeah, and then Jamal made a great defensive play. Here's LeBron. It's late clock. That's a prayer, and it doesn't hit anything. And then late, and we got one more shot here. Okay, we got that. And then that was Aaron Gordon on LeBron. Then Jamal cut him off at the pass and got his hands on the ball. Mm-hmm. And I loved it that LeBron put his head down and tried to get to the basket, but he couldn't get the ball up. Okay, so whatever, you got two shots to tie the game, and you don't tie the game. So now he takes a lot of criticism, justifiable criticism, for those four bad fourth quarters because he's the greatest scorer in the history of the game. And we come to game one this year, and you scratch and claw your way back into the game. Austin Reeves makes a couple of big shots, and all of a sudden I'm going, LeBron, where are you? And you're with me. I don't know where he is. Is he pouting about it? Is he just saying, okay, I took all that heat off this. You guys do it. I'll just stay out of the way. I'm going to disconnect tonight. I'm going to disengage. You guys do it. I'll just give it to D'Lo. You're giving it to the coldest hand on the floor, and he winds up going 1 for 9 from three for the game. And I'm saying, you're better than that because they're looking to you, and you're just saying, no, you guys, you do it because everybody thinks you can do it. That's all I hear is you guys do it. And it's hard to watch. And I think I know our friend Lil Wayne texts me. He's just out of his mind about it because it just looks pathetic. Okay. And yet we flip the switch and we go to game two. He was all-time great for much of the fourth quarter in game two. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, he looked better than Joker or Jamal or both of them put together because there were stretches. He made the back-to-back threes. He stole the ball from Jamal, went down and dunked on him. I'm saying, that's sensational. You are highly capable of doing that. And you get it down to one shot, and now you got to impose your will. You just have to make the one shot to break the curse, break the spot. They've got a psychological hold over you. And if you make it, we're having a completely different conversation because it's 1-to-1 right now. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, it just didn't quite get there. And then the other guy just says, okay, I got it. And he goes down to the other end over your best defender, a potential defensive player of the year who can guard 1 through 5. And he makes a shot that's just too good. It's like you just tip your cap, right?
So what's the point, Skip?
Well, it's just either AD, and how what's does AD point? Get one shot in the fourth quarter after he was 11 of 12 in the first half?
But see, for me, and when I look at it, it's not – it's not about LeBron. It's about the guy on the sideline as the head coach to be able to recognize and understand that the guy who's having a great game is not touching the basketball.
I just think he's
As Darwin Ham has got to.
I view him as a bystander. He's just watching.
But you can't.
I know, but he just thinks LeBron runs the show. So whatever LeBron wants to do, he just goes
Do we really think that? Because I don't. I think if you're the head coach, you're supposed to say, get the damn basketball to this dude.
Man.
Put Joker in bad positions.
I'm not sure he would do that to LeBron James. I just don't.
But then you're not going to win.
And look, when
you're not going to win.
When you talk about LeBron in the fourth quarter and the inconsistency that you're correctly pointing out, he's 39 years old.
He is exceptional.
I guess he is exceptional a lot of the time. But the difference between 39 and 30, even the most elitist of superstars, is you are not going to be exceptional as often at 39
I understand.
As you were at 30.
But how many times did we say in the regular season he's 39 going on 29?
Because he would just.
But what did he do wrong in this fourth quarter, Skip, other than
just missed a shot?
Missed that one shot.
It's just one shot.
But here's the thing. This team, and I said it this desk in October, they were not going to get to the finals. They were not going to get past the Denver Nuggets with the way this roster was built. I believe that then. I believe that now. By the way, I don't think this is going to be a sweep. the Lakers are going to win one, maybe two games.
Yeah.
But they're not winning four of the next five.
We and just talked about two games we've watched at Minnesota featuring the big three Suns. Mm-hmm. They have been overmatched in both games, where I came away from both games saying, you got no chance. Not once have I come away from a Lakers-Nuggets game saying the Lakers have no chance, because it looks like they have every chance.
Look, dude,
right?
We led by 20.
Yeah.
In the third quarter. We led by 10 in the second game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
We led by 12 in the second quarter of the first game. We have to just sustain that and not surrender. When they go down and make their shots, we got to go down and make our shots. That's just simple.
It's just like mental
it's not
toughness.
That difficult.
I agree.
It's not that the Denver Nuggets are just so much better than the Lakers.
I don't see
in
it.
In the end, the last 5 minutes of the game, if you want to call it 7 minutes of a game, whatever, that last little bit of the fourth quarter is what's getting us.
But it's that's not a skill. That's something the Nuggets have worked on. That's team chemistry. That's Jamal and Joker, the way they work together. And by the way, to your point about confidence, if it was 1-1 and all of a sudden they did hold on to that lead at the end, I think that could have changed the series.
We went away from pick and roll stuff in the fourth quarter.
Now you have suffered coughing up that loss. You have suffered that Jamal Murray shot and the pandemonium, and LeBron almost got swallowed up, right, by the and AD also.
AD
like got
oh, LeBron was over there? I didn't see him.
LeBron was on the other side, but he, you know, the fans are going crazy or whatever, and AD. KCP had to pull AD out, his ex-teammate, out of the
pile. Rushing the
basically.
Court.
Basically. But the point is, now, that's even more in their heads as they go forward. And I just think that, look, I do not believe that this Lakers team is getting past the Nuggets. I do think that key in June, they are going to have, I'm giving you hope here. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. On draft night, they will have three first-round picks in their wallet.
Mm-hmm.
I think that by trade or other mechanisms of free agency this summer, they are in position again. They have the assets to get another big-time player, and this will be a different matchup next year when these two teams face off.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, with the guys on the court on both sides, I think that the Lakers, I would predict the Lakers win game three, but they're not, I don't see them winning the series.
Look, I think they're going to win game three, and I think they can win game four. And I think they go back to Denver, they lose, they come home, and we'll see what happens. That's kind of why I think they get these two games at home. Think about this, though, Rachel. Every single game in Denver from last year to now, we've been in them except the last 5 minutes. And you say, well, that's a skill, that's a this, and that's a that. They went away from the success that they had in the first three quarters in game two.
Mm-hmm.
They just went away. I don't know why. I don't know whose decision that was, but they got to make that correction.
Yeah.
And I know if we see it, they sure in hell's got to see what's gone wrong.
Yeah.
They've got to correct it. That's all. This is not a team that I look at and go, they don't have a chance. Because I believe, not just because I'm a Laker fan, I believe you got two of the top players in the NBA on your roster that is the lead dogs. I don't care if he's 39 and the other dude gets hurt every other day. I don't care. When they ready to play, they can play with the best of them. You know, everybody's saying Joker.
No.
I could put Anthony Davis numbers up with Jokers in the same two games.
You can't.
Cancel it out.
It's not this, right? It's this, but there is a team on top.
Yeah, we got Well, we got to hit our shots. And D-Lo can't do. He just give me a 9-for-10 night on threes, and then the next night he go for one for eight. Can't have that.
Okay, so Rachel just predicted the Lakers will have a big three next year, right?
I think you will see a significant roster addition.
With Bronny as point guard, is that possible?
Come on, man.
He's not going to be the big acquisition, whether he's on the team or not.
All right.
That's not who I'm talking about.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Bomb back down.
Okay, here was Jerry Jones yesterday, doubling, tripling, quadrupling down on his all-in proclamation.
How do we feel about where we've been in this free agency? We feel great about what we've been in free agency. All in. all in. All in. We're all in with these young guys coming up. And we're all in with this draft. You have to have rookies contribute or you aren't getting the value that you need to have. These are your lesser paid as far as the other relative to veterans. They're going to the good ones are going to get paid to have other days of more pay. But that's got to meld in with the overall management or it doesn't work. Because you've got 10 players getting 70% of the money.
I don't know how much more of this I can take, but Jerry also said yesterday that this is why he has no deals done with CeeDee Lamb or Micah Parsons or Dak Prescott. And I quote Jerry, "You may be working on contracts and not moving anything but your eyebrows. Who in the world would think that we're not working on it? I work on it. It pops up at 2 a.m. sometimes. What you're actually questioning is, why don't you have something done and negotiate it and put it in the drawer? Well, we'd like to see some more leaves fall. We'd like to see some more action." And finally, Jerry also said this, Keyshawn, before I get to you. "I probably have as good a feel as anybody living on this earth what the cap is going to be 3 years from now, 4 years from now, 5 years from now. I really do. We've got exceptional insight into where the cap is going to be, more so than a lot of other people." Okay, Keyshawn, do you really believe, do you still believe Jerry has everything completely under control?
Newsflash, buddy. Absolutely.
What?
Man, everything Jerry just said is he's correct 1,000%.
Wait.
1,000%
he said we're
correct.
All in free agency? Could have fooled me.
Guess what he's waiting for? Some of those leaves to fall. You know what those leaves are? Those are players that's still out on the streets.
Yeah.
That's going to come back a crawling when they don't get the contracts that they need.
The dregs of the earth?
Have you looked at that list?
Yeah, I have.
There's a ton of talent.
Only Stephon Gilmore
intrigues you. Yeah. You.
Yeah.
But guess what? You can probably get Stephon Diggs or Stephon Gilmore.
Yep.
For a pack of gum and a carton of cigarettes if you wait.
I hope he's more valuable than that.
But he could be more valuable. But if you like Jerry saying, he understands that you don't, okay.
Skip.
You don't think Jerry Jones in the Dallas Cowboys organization understand and knows where the cap is going to be 2, 3, 4 years from now?
Okay, I'll buy that. And that has what to do with what's happening?
It has a lot to do with it, as I continue to try to tell you. And I've told you multiple times, there's a handful of guys that eats up a lot of your salary cap. And you have to plan accordingly. It's a budget. You can't just go out there and throw money out on players that don't make sense for what you have to do
guys. The cap is going to go up, up, up. Why didn't you get CD done before free agency started?
Because as he said, do you think that he's not up at 2 a.m. in the morning on a constant basis trying to figure out how to get it done? This is what they do.
I think he's up at 2 a.m. fretting about what he's messed up with this team.
Skip, as I said to you a long time ago, and I'll say it to you again, these deals are being worked on all the time. But because you don't hear about them, you get, they're not doing anything. They probably done exchanged proposals 50 times. Okay, and they made the proposals they're changing. Yeah. They may have moved the decimal just a little bit over this way or that way. Mm. They may have added 1 0, maybe taken a 0 away, added 1 year. You know, they're playing with it. Mm. That's why it's not getting done. Mm. Okay? It's not getting done yet.
Okay. Unfortunately, we play in this thing called the NFC East, and our arch rival over the last 10 years has been the Philadelphia Eagles.
That's true.
All I know is I saw Bleacher Report the other day that ranked everybody, gave grades to everybody's offseason. And they gave the Eagles an A-plus because they deserve an A-plus, and they gave the Dallas Cowboys an F because Jerry deserves an F for what he has not done. And I look at the Eagles and I say, wait a second, Howie Roseman has locked up contractually every single significant player on that roster, not to mention all the additions starting with Saquon Barkley. You love him, so I'll go with you. You played. Howie Roseman didn't even play high school football. I don't know how he does this, but he's coming across as the genius operator right now in the NFL. And I ask you.
Has that gotten him any damn wins in April?
No, but.
Any at all.
Okay, let me ask you a better question. I love Jerry Jones personally, and I've been around him a lot, and you know him, and
yes.
You played for
uh-huh.
him, and were you were around him a lot. That's not what we're talking about right now, because what has this man done over the last 30 years as the owner and operator of my Dallas Cowboys to make you trust that he's got it completely under control? Because I'm going to tell you nothing. We have not even gotten close to playing in one NFC championship game in 30 years, 29 actually. And check this out. I'm going to just ram this down your throat again. Over the last 30 years, of the teams that have played at least 15 playoff games, we rank dead last in playoff winning percentage because we are 5-13 in the postseason.
Okay.
5-13?
Okay.
And I'm supposed to trust that Jerry's all in free agency when we've gone out and signed the immortal Eric Kendricks from Minnesota, mm-hmm. and then we added a household name, Royce Freeman,
yeah.
as a new running back in free agency.
But you laughed about
Royce Freeman because you should have.
That doesn't mean that Royce Freeman is going to make the 53-man roster. That's the point. They need bodies.
They need bodies? So we would.
Absolutely.
Philadelphia goes out and wins free agency,
and we
go get bodies. Maybe dead bodies.
They need
right?
bodies. Okay. They're going into mini camps and OTAs. They need people to run around with shorts and t-shirts on.
You're all in. How can you try to force that down my throat?
The problem again, Skip, is you guys become more delusional by the minute. He has a plan. They've always had a plan, okay, constructed. You can't argue about his draft picks. You can't argue about
I don't.
He's you can't argue about
well.
The, you can't argue okay. about the players and, that he's assembled
and,
on teams.
And guess what?
You
all
can't.
Those draft picks, guess what? All that talent. He says, I love my roster. That roster got you down 27-0 before halftime of a home playoff game against the youngest team in the league.
Because they had a different game plan than you, and their game plan was executed, and yours was not.
So now we haven't signed three players who contributed to 27-0 down before halftime. I'm like, I don't even know. And I don't love the quarterback. You still love him. And we're even stuck with that. And I don't know, are you going to go all, you're going to throw a lot of good money after bad and give him five more years?
You might not. You may be waiting, as Jerry say, for one of those leaves to fall. You may be waiting to see if Dak Prescott
That's
can
true.
Be
I think that
a
was a
future
Dak,
option.
I think that was a Dak
okay.
comment. I need
you,
to see.
You don't,
I need the fall leaves to fall. I said, let's
that,
wait until
that,
autumn
that
and see what
be,
happens.
That may be the case, Skip.
Yeah.
But you can't say that this man doesn't know what he's doing on the makeup of his roster based on just what Philly has done. Philly won the offseason. The NFC champs in the offseason.
They steamrolled
they
the offseason.
They have no question about that. They got better.
Yeah. We had a mass exodus. Every time I looked up, another player was going to the Commanders.
That's okay.
Right? Yeah.
That's okay.
Great.
Players leave and players come and go.
Okay.
Sometimes
and
you lose
go.
A player that you think might be really good, and they bring in a player that does exactly what they need that's better.
Okay.
You got a different defensive coordinator. The personnel is going to change for Mike Zimmer. It's not the same personnel as Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn had to change the personnel because of Mike Nolan. Mike Nolan had a certain personnel that he liked. Dan Quinn came in, moved it around like his personnel. Now Mike Zimmer has to do the same thing. You gotta let it grow. You can't get caught up in the month of March, in the month of April, and the team is gonna do this or that. The Philadelphia Eagles may win 7 games next year. Now what you gonna say?
Mm.
Oh, well, Saquon Barkley and this, they paid all this money for all these guys and didn't do anything with it.
I like their chances.
I like do. Their chances, yeah. too, but I'm giving you the reality of
okay.
it.
So Jerry has drafted spectacularly well, and to his credit, he has final say on the top, say, 3 or 4 picks every year.
Yeah.
He has veto power. The buck stops on his desk. But I got to tell you, last year, first round, they picked Mazi Smith from the University of Michigan. And you know what? I'm not going to go bust just yet, but every time I tried to watch Mazi Smith, I couldn't see anything because he was getting pushed around.
Was he supposed to be Nick Bosa?
No,
he was not.
He was supposed to have immediate impact as a first-round pick where our weakness was we got to plug some holes in the middle of the line.
And that may be true, but he was never going to be Warren Sapp immediately out the gate.
Yeah,
it wasn't going to happen like that. He may turn into something year 2 and 3. Year 1, I'm not expecting a whole lot. I just need you to figure out how to get to the building.
For your
no matter where you get.
Because you do all your business through the draft, I better see something from your first-round pick to say, oh, okay. Okay.
Yes,
I see it.
But a first round, Skip, you've been doing this business 50 years or whatever it's been. You think in your first year doing this business, you is as good as you are now?
No, but you know and I know. Ooh. With first rounders, when you hit, you know it. When they step on the practice field with veteran Keyshawn.
No one said that they didn't hit on him yet. No one said that they didn't hit on him yet, but you. You're the only one said.
No, I've seen a lot of speculation about what
you gotta give him the other years. Okay. You're talking about a rookie.
Yeah.
He doesn't even know how to get to the damn facility yet.
Well, he didn't know how to get to the running back or the quarterback or the whatever. Whoever had the football,
That's the problem with information that gets out too much is people start going crazy. They're not doing this. They're not doing that. You didn't hear anything about Tony Romo when he signed his extension. It was quiet. He just happened to, Tony Romo signed a big extension.
All right.
Tyron Smith, you hear, Tyron, we locked out.
Okay.
It didn't drag on as much as it has with these other guys. It's the wildest thing ever.
Here we go. Thursday night. We're almost there. Tomorrow night.
Yeah.
This is it for Jerry Jones. He is literally on the clock because he better hit. He better have instant impact draft picks in the first round, the second round, and the third round. You better hit on your top three, better be instant impact starters at offensive tackle and running back and linebacker.
When was the last time?
You better hit.
When was the last time that they failed in the top three rounds of the draft? And those dudes did participate at some point in time for the Cowboys in their career.
Maybe you go back to Taco Charlton, another Michigan pick. You
know? It was like 1,000 years ago.
Okay, and Mozzie Smith. It's the jury's way out on him. And then Luke Schoonmaker out of Michigan. We're swinging Michigan picks, right? Because remember, he was the kid at Philadelphia who didn't get his knee down on the goal line. Okay.